Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump is pushing back against the headlines today. The Secret Service says it will investigate Trump's former butler. It's accusing him of posting racist screeds on Facebook, including calling for President Obama to be killed. And Donald Trump is denying reports today that he once masqueraded as a PR person and made telephone calls to reporters decades ago to plant flattering stories about himself.
Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders is the only candidate on the campaign trail today. He's hoping to build on momentum from his West Virginia win this week. But by the way, speaking of masquerading, claiming to be legit but fooling no one, our jingle.
Here and now,
2016.
It's my one and only chance to have a little bit of fun in this segment.
They sound legit.
Joining us is Juana Summers, CNN politics editor. Hi there, Juana.
Hi there.
We're going to be talking about the week in politics, of course. And Katie Zesma, she covers the 2016 campaign for the Washington Post. Hi there, Katie.
Hey, Megan.
Okay, so first of all, let's get this very strange news out of the way about allegations of Donald Trump impersonating a PR person, apparently telling reporters, or reporters, excuse me, who had been covering him in years past, say they often got calls from someone who sounded just like Trump, claiming to be someone named John Miller or John Barron. Now, the Post got a hold of some of these recordings, and here's one of them. It's of John telling People magazine that Madonna wanted to date Trump.
He called and wanted to go out with him, that I can tell you. And one of the other people that you're writing about, by the way, I'm sort of new here. And
what is your position?
Well, I'm sort of handling PR because he gets so much of it.
Yeah.
Okay, frankly, well, this morning, Trump denied that that was his voice. So, Juana and Katie, let me just start with the basic question of what do you make of all this?
Well, it is quite interesting. I mean, if you listen to it, it sounds a lot like Donald Trump. But, you know, these are allegations that have been going back a long time that he was this Mr. Barron. It's just, you know, another really kind of bizarre twist in this presidential race. You know, as my colleagues reported, Trump has used the name Barron quite a bit. In fact, he named his son Barron. So he's completely denying this now. But, you know, he said in the past it appears to sound just like him.
And Juana, your thoughts?
You know, this is a really interesting one. And all the time I've covered politics, I never quite thought that I would run into a story about a Republican presumptive nominee who may have impersonated someone to be his own PR agent. It's certainly very strange. But as I've said a number of times throughout this race, the laws of political gravity just seem to never apply to Donald Trump. So whether or not this actually makes an impact in the race, I'm just not sure. Certainly fascinating, though. Again, as Katie and the Post have noted, Donald Trump says it's not him, although it does sound quite a bit like him. Just listening to that clip a couple seconds ago.
Okay, so that remains to be seen whether it is or not. I imagine there's going to be a lot of examining done of those voice tapes. How about the story about Donald Trump's former butler, Anthony Senecal? He apparently wrote social media posts that were brazenly racist about the Obamas. Among other things, he called for the U.S. military to kill the president. Now, this is somebody who worked at Trump's Florida estate for decades. He still gives tours there. A campaign spokeswoman emailed reporters saying, "We totally and completely disavow the horrible statements made by Senecal, but there are no disavowals yet on TV, at least from Donald Trump himself today." What do you both make of that, Juana?
Well, you know, obviously the statement came out that the campaign has disavowed these. This is just another one of those things where if you're a rival of Donald Trump's, you're going to point to that kind of incendiary rhetoric and say, you know, he has said things that have incensed the base. You've heard some of the things that have been hurled by his supporters. If you've ever stood outside a campaign rally and talked to them, I would assume that people who are political opponents of Donald Trump, whether on the Democratic side of the aisle or the Republican side of the aisle, are going to try to tie him to this longtime former employee. And I do think it's very interesting. Donald Trump has been a little quieter than he has been recently. He came in and out of Washington, D.C. yesterday without a word in all of those meetings with Republican leaders. We heard from a little bit on Sean Hannity's Fox show last evening, as well as some call-ins this morning. But still no mention of this. I'll be curious to see if he does, in fact, come out later and say, you know, I disavow this. This is wrong. And obviously the Secret Service investigating these threats about President Obama as well.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that Washington meeting that Trump had this week. But I did want to get in a thought here about the fact that Donald Trump has also this week weighed in on this latest issue regarding transgender bathrooms on the same day that the Obama administration is directing public schools to allow transgender people to use facilities that correspond to their gender identity. Donald Trump said this on NBC.
everybody has to be protected, and I feel strongly about that, but you're talking about a tiny, tiny group of population. With that being said, everybody has to be protected, but I would leave it up to the states.
Now, Katie, you've reported about how evangelical voters are feeling very much adrift in this election right now. They used to be, you know, part of the heart and soul of the Republican base. I mean, is this just even more of sort of casting them further adrift?
It is. I was in Nebraska this weekend, and a pastor said to me, you know, we have nobody left about Donald Trump. I think this is going to be a very interesting issue to watch, because what you have right now is Donald Trump saying, you know, it's up to the states. It's a states' rights thing. But he also said that Caitlyn Jenner could use whatever bathroom she wants in his properties. So right now what you have is the Attorney General of Texas made indications this morning that he may potentially sue the federal government and the Obama administration over their decree that students should be able to use whatever facilities they want in public schools. And you also have the governor in North Carolina, Pat McCrory, who they passed a law that made sure that people needed to use the bathrooms that correspond to the sex on their birth certificate. He sued the Obama administration, and the Obama administration sued him right back. So, you know, in many ways, it'll be fascinating to watch how this turns out, because it is in many ways being waged on the state level.
Okay, so we've mentioned the meeting between Donald Trump and the House Speaker Paul Ryan yesterday. After the meeting happened, this was obviously a long-awaited meeting, the result long-awaited as well, Trump tweeted, things worked out really well, but Ryan still did not endorse Trump. Here's what Ryan said himself after the meeting.
Look, there are people who are for Donald Trump, who are for Ted Cruz, or for John Kasich, who are for Marco Rubio and everybody else. And it's very important that we don't fake unifying, we don't pretend unification, that we truly and actually unify so that we are full strength in the fall.
Okay, so question, are Donald Trump and GOP leaders, including Paul Ryan, going to be friends or frenemies?
That's a funny way of putting it. You know, I think that there's a realization among Republicans in Washington, Republicans on Capitol Hill, that whether or not you like everything that Donald Trump stands for, you're probably going to be stuck with him as the Republican nominee. And you didn't hear Paul Ryan come out and endorse him. And both in the Trump campaign and folks close to it have said they didn't really expect an endorsement to come out of that meeting. But you notice that they put out this joint statement that was more probably Ryan-esque than Trump-esque, certainly, said that this is the beginning of a conversation. So I do think you're starting to see some of the disparate rings of the party come together ahead of the convention. The question remains, though, is will it be enough, or will we see a convention where, say, if someone like Texas Senator Ted Cruz, who still has not released his delegates, doesn't release them, could we see a Trump embarrassment? I just don't know, but all signs point towards Republican leadership certainly coming in line.
Katie, your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of people are saying, you know, this is what we have. These are the cards that were dealt. And it looks as though people are really kind of attempting to come together and attempting to say, well, you know, this is the situation. So how do we work with this? And let's go from there.
Mm. Okay. Well, every week I do this. I don't want to make this the entire Donald Trump segment, but it's very hard. So in the last couple of minutes, I do want to shift gears a little bit to the Democratic side, because Hillary Clinton has refused to engage Donald Trump when once again he called her an enabler of her husband Bill Clinton's abuse of women. At a rally in New Jersey, though, Hillary did bring up her husband, praising the former president's economic legacy.
If the Republicans want to criticize it, I'm going to ask them, what are they criticizing? The peace or the prosperity that we had in the 1990s?
So I guess broadly, Katie and Juana, I mean, we're going to sort of see this cat and mouse game between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, it seems, going forward. But what would you make about how Hillary Clinton has been responding to Trump so far? Juana?
So I think this is really interesting. I was just looking at the data. And if you look at a hypothetical general election matchup from our most recent CNN poll, 61% of women said that across parties said they'd back Clinton, 35% Trump. So I think as you see Donald Trump calling Hillary Clinton an enabler, bringing up President Bill Clinton infidelity and all of these other issues, it just shows how great of a gender gap we're looking at. And after the last election where Republicans, President Barack Obama beat Mitt Romney with around 10%, I think, according to exit polls with women, I think we're setting up for a really divisive election, specifically on these women voters who do decide the election.
Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders wants everybody to know he is still very much in the race to win the Democratic Party's presidential nomination. Here is, in fact, what he said just yesterday.
I am not here to say that Hillary Clinton can't defeat Donald Trump. I absolutely believe that she can. But I believe, quite honestly, that Bernie Sanders is the stronger candidate.
And a Quinnipiac poll released this week showed that Sanders is doing better against Donald Trump than Clinton is in Florida, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. As the New York Post put it this week, stop the coronation, meaning the coronation of Hillary Clinton. But how much pressure is Bernie Sanders right now under to get out of the race?
Well, you know, in some ways he is under some, and Clinton is really kind of fighting a two-front war at this point, right? She has to deal with Trump on the one hand, lobbing all these insults about her as an enabler, and on the other hand, she, you know, can't go. She has to also keep Bernie Sanders' people in the fold and appeal to them. And I was at a rally in Oakland that she had last week, and you know, she went after Trump, but she called Sanders my esteemed competitor. So she's clearly kind of walking this tightrope right now in terms of trying to appeal to Sanders supporters, but also hit back against Trump.
Well, Katie Zesma covers the 2016 campaign for The Washington Post. Katie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Juana Summers is CNN's politics editor. Great to have you as well, Juana.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you both.